But I was reading the Jerusalem Post recently, a fascinating article there about the Jews in Finland, entitled How Finland's 850 Jews Survive and Thrive in the Diaspora. The president of the Jewish community of Helsinki in Finland is Chaya Votkin, and she is on the line to chat to me here on Chai FM this afternoon. Chaya, thank you for your time and thank you for chatting to me on Chai FM.
Hi, and thanks for the invitation. I'm happy to be here.
So I'm smiling because I've got to tell you, I had no idea that there was a Jewish community in Finland, not to mention that it is 850 souls, small or big, depending how you wish to see it. What's the history of the Jews of Finland? How did they get there?
So they were like, Finland was part of the Russian Empire. And they were soldiers in the army, and they served for 25 years. And at that time, Jews were not allowed to settle in Finland, but there was also another rule that the soldiers who served for 25 years, they were allowed to settle in the place where they finished their service. And some of those Jewish soldiers actually finished their army service in Finland, and thus they were allowed to stay here. But the problem was that they were all men and they had no wives.
Yes.
And they wanted to build families. So they brought some women from Baltic countries, and that's how they started their families, and that's how Jewish life started here in Finland.
That's absolutely remarkable story of survival, because if you think about it, these were the conscripts into the Russian army. I think we as South African Jews, we very much descended from the Baltics, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia. Many of our families left that part of the world because of the threat of the conscription of 25 years into the Russian army. So this issue is quite familiar to us. What amazes me is you talking about the people who actually survived that experience, who came out after 25 years and still maintained a Jewish identity. That really surprises me.
It is. It's really surprising. And how they were young people when they went to the army, and they were young men when they came out. And they still like wanted to keep the Jewish tradition and wanted to start a Jewish life. And they have even had a shul here, and they started Hevra Kadisha. And they really like that. It's really a miracle. First of all, that they survived and with the Jewish identity, and then that they really wanted to build a community, and they actually did it.
Absolutely remarkable story of resilience and survival. I want to talk about you for a moment, because you apparently became the first female president of the Jewish community in Helsinki last year. What did that milestone mean for you personally and for the community? How did they deal with a woman being the president?
Yes, so for me, it was a big surprise. We had elections, we had three candidates, and I got chosen. So for me, it was like, wow, another challenge, and I took it happily. And for the community, many people said it's kind of historic. Like, our shul is turning 120 years this year,
yes,
and the community is older than that. So it's kind of like a historical moment that we have a first female president in the Jewish community. And many thought that it was really like it was about time now.
What drew you into Jewish leadership, and what keeps you motivated?
I think I've always been active. Like, I was active in Witso and in our like welfare organizations. I've been active in the Jewish choir. I was also part of the board for about 6 years, so it was not a new thing for me. So I've always been like interested in contributing to the community, and then this was just like another step in that path. And
Chaya, the article makes reference to the fact that you spoke about the Jewish community in Finland having been homogeneous for generations, but now, in the words they use, is beautifully diverse. What does that mean in practice? What does beautifully diverse mean?
So, like, first of all those people who came here, they were like, they came from the Russian army, and then the women came from Baltic countries, and then that was like, it was very Eastern European for a long time. And then they started to come people from other parts of Europe, then from Israel at some point, from Russia again in the 90s, from the United States, all over Europe. So I think we have like different types of people here, like not only Ashkenazi, we have also Sephardic people, we have also Mizrahi. I think in the beginning, most of the people were traditional in some way,
mm-hmm.
but now we have also those who are like different types of like Haredim, like Litvish, Hasidic. We have like traditional people, we have secular people, like all kinds of people together and speaking different languages. And I think it's very, very special, like to have one community with so much different types of people.
And it's not just the people, it's the infrastructure. Reading this article, it actually blew me away. I mean, pretty much from Brit Mila all the way through to burial, it seems like the community is able to take care of you. And one wonders, you're a community of 850 people at the end of the day. How on earth do you manage to maintain such a full and complete Jewish infrastructure?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's a miracle, first of all, and it requires a lot of hard work. Like we can't hire people for everything. So it's like we rely a lot of on voluntary working. Like Hevra Kadisha is working totally like volunteering. Of course, school and Gani Yeladim there, we have hired staff there. But a lot of the associations that we have, so people are volunteering and giving their time and money and making it happen. So we work hard for it. And I think it's a miracle, but it's a beautiful miracle that we have a functioning community here, even though we are so few.
The article also made reference to the fact that there was just two synagogues, but everybody under one roof. What were they referring to? I didn't understand that.
So basically, like if you are in New York, so you have every type of Jew has their own synagogue.
Yes.
In Finland, we have two Orthodox synagogues. We have also a liberal community, but they don't have their own synagogue. But basically, we are a space that where everyone is welcome. Like everyone from the secular and with their non-Jewish spouse to the Haredi, like everyone in between is welcome to the same place. And we do things together, like we all fit under the same roof. And of course, we have to make compromises as well. But that is something beautiful and kind of unique, too. Like,
yeah,
this diverse community.
It's beautiful, and it makes so much sense in terms of if you've got limited resources, then just use them effectively instead of everybody going off and doing their own thing. We could probably learn something from you in that regard, I reckon. I'm just thinking back to the Ukraine war when the Russians attacked Ukraine, and I'm wondering, what extent did that make Jews in Finland start to feel uncomfortable and perhaps concerned about their future?
We have been in war with Russia, so we were not surprised of what happened. We were trying to help the Ukrainians, some people who came from there. And I think we have, as I said, we are quite resilient here, so and we need to be. And I don't think that really changed our idea about our future so much. You know, we know that we also survived the Second World War. Like I think our shuls are the one of the few schools in the world that survived the Second World War unharmed, and then all the services went on all throughout the war, and that is very special. So I think that we have this idea that whatever happens, we'll just continue and keep doing what we are doing.
I am going to ask you now about October the 7th, but I want you to go prior to October the 7th and then post October the 7th. How's the community, let's talk before October the 7th, how was the community received by the wider Finnish community?
Quite well, actually. Like I think we have been part of the Finnish society. People are like well integrated in the Finnish society, but that is something that changed after October 7th. Like these anti-Israel like ideas grew much stronger than ever before.
Are there issues now? Are you facing the same sort of things that we do in terms of Jewish institutions? I'm thinking about the schools and the shuls having to have security. Are you facing the same kind of issues as we are?
We need to have security all the time, and we have a demonstrator who has been kind of like bothering us for ever since October 7th. But we have also like the government is helping us, so we have like cooperation with them, and we have often police cars like outside the shul and so on. So I think like the atmosphere is different, and we have different kind of boycotts, like people want to boycott Israeli products and Israeli lectures at universities, and these kind of things, like these ideas have become more common, like compared to the time before October 7th.
And I guess if you're a community of 850 people, you really don't have the resources to take on a project to counter that. I mean, the resources required would just be overwhelming.
And we are like we are combating anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism as well. But the problem is, as not it's not as big as somewhere else in the world, but we still need to put time and effort on that, and on many different levels, like government and also like media and also educating people. And that is something we should do even more, I think.
Talk to me about the future of the community. Where to from here? I think the article quoted you as saying, as long as there's a future for Jews in Europe, there's a future for Jews in Finland. Do you think there's a future for Jews in Europe?
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's not a good sign for Europe if there is not. I really wish for the sake of Europe and Finland that there is a future for Jews in both places.
Are your youth going on Aliyah? They're emigrating to Israel, or they're pretty much staying put?
Some. Like, it's not a mass Aliyah, something that we can have seen from some other countries, but there are a few individuals making Aliyah, and I think it's a good idea to have in mind that, okay, if something happens, we have a place to go, and that is very important for every Jew, I think, anywhere in the world.
Chaya, final question for you this afternoon. What do you wish that Jews around the world understood about the Finnish Jewish experience?
I think the one thing I said in Hebrew is Am echad lev echad, that we are one people with one heart. And if we remember that, we are doing well.
Chaya, that is a beautiful place to end it this afternoon. Thank you for chatting to me on Chai FM. Thank you for the insights into a community I knew nothing about. Appreciate your time. Toda rabah.